Hello and welcome to episode 7 of Reddit Ramblings. Today we are looking at stories from r/pro-revenge. Enjoy! This story is called, Company Recruits Me for Senior Position, Brings Me to Their HQ, Project Gets Cancelled While I'm Interviewing and I'm Supposed to Pay for the Trip. I don't think so. During the dot-com boom in the late 90s, I became somewhat well known for my expertise with a now somewhat obsolete networking technology. I ended up getting heavily recruited by a big telecom firm in Denver to run the technical side of a huge networking project they had underway. After multiple phone interviews, I was invited out for the big in-person sit-down, a two-day affair where I met with the big dogs, other techies, HR, etc. It was a pretty killer opportunity. Took the trip. First day of meetings went great, I felt it was a great match, etc. I did sense there was some tension between two groups over network architecture. Turned out that was one of the reasons they were bringing in someone more senior who could finalize the approach and get the project moving. That was fine, all part of the job, whatever. Dined after the first day, was definitely feeling like the job was a match and that I'd be moving to Denver. Went in the second day and after another round of interviews, the division head takes me to lunch. That's when it all blew up. While we were at lunch, the firm's senior management canned the entire project and fired every person associated with it. Apparently there was a huge internal political war going on. This project was ground zero for the big battle and this division just lost. We get back from lunch and the manager escorts me to HR where we're going to sit down and go over their offer. Instead, he's told what's going on and that he's out of a job along with everyone else on the project. At this point, I was told to leave. No apologies, it was just crappy luck for me. What the crap? Okay then, I'm gone. I get back to the hotel and there's a voicemail for me asking me to call the HR people. I'm annoyed but I call. They tell me they've had to cancel my return ticket and that I'd need to pay for the hotel myself for now, but that if I would submit an expense report, they might be able to get me a check. There's a second voicemail from the front desk asking me to provide a credit card for the stay. And then I get a call on my cell phone from the car rental company, which I didn't answer. Turns out they also wanted my credit card. Frick. That. I called the airline and they said my reservation had indeed been cancelled. But they also acknowledged that the reservation was paid for using a fully refundable ticket, which I was holding and which back in the 90s was essentially as good as cash. Said they wouldn't know for certain if I could board until I showed up at the counter with the physical ticket. Great. Just great. I'm on the hook for several thousand in airfare, nice hotel and rental car after taking several days of vacation from my job for this interview? I don't think so. Here's the revenge. I packed my bags and loaded up the rental car. Left the keys in hotel room door. Drove the rental car back to Dallas, stayed overnight in Amarillo. Dropped the rental at the Hertz lot at DFW Airport, took their shuttle to the terminal I'd left my car at and drove home. Over the next few months, I got several nasty phone calls from their HR and accounting departments demanding I pay them back for the trip, including paying for the $700 drop-off fee for the car. Never answered them, of course, just let them go to voicemail. Eventually got a demand letter from their legal department, paid an attorney a nominal fee to send them a demand for compensation, threatened a lawsuit letter. Never heard from the firm again. Side note, the ticket itself was still valid. I ended up selling it to a friend at a big discount and he was able to use it. This story is called, Woman Damages My Mom's Car and Blames My Mom. Her corrupt cop boyfriend covers it up and ruins both of their reputations. For some background, I live in a predominantly white suburban town in New Jersey and my family is Asian. Although the town is alright for the most part, it is not really a secret that some of the town's people are pretty racist. One of our neighbors, let's call him Anthony, is a retired police captain from another town, but he is friends with my town's police chief. My mother is a first-generation immigrant, and although she's fluent in English, she still has a pretty thick Asian accent. A couple of years ago, my mom went to visit one of her friends on the other side of town. My mom had parallel parked directly in front of her friend's house, which is at the bottom of a small hill. As she was leaving, a woman driving a Jeep Wrangler with her children was driving down a small hill, but she was still a decent distance back, so my mom pulled out of her spot. The road they were on was really wide, with enough space to fit five cars next to one another, and about 40 feet ahead was a stop sign. My mom at this point was already in the middle of the road, fully out of the parking spot, and had gotten about 10 feet when the woman driving the Jeep suddenly came up from behind my mom's car and cut directly in front of her, crossing a double yellow line to do so. Because of the angle she cut off my mom at, the Jeep's rear wheel ended up ripping off my mom's front bumper. My mom naturally immediately stopped, and the woman we got out of her car after straightening it out on the road. As soon as she stepped out of her car, this woman, we'll call her Karen, immediately starts cursing my mom out at the top of her lungs. Karen told my mom to call the police, but my mom told her that her phone had died. My mom's friend and her son, as well as the neighbor, came out of the house after hearing the commotion to see what had happened. The neighbor, an elderly man, asked what happened, and Karen yelled, "Are you blind? An accident happened. Go call the police. I need to call my boyfriend." The son had taken a law class in college, so he offered to take a bunch of pictures of the scene of the accident and send them to my mom later. This becomes super important later. The neighbor calls the police, but Karen's boyfriend arrives at the scene first. When the cop, let's call him Kenny, finally arrives, he asked my mom what happened. Just as my mom had just started saying her side of the story, the cop says, "Wait just a minute," and walks over to the boyfriend. As it turns out, the boyfriend, we'll call him Sam, was a cop in the town who was pretty popular with the kids in the middle school, since he would occasionally visit to talk about things like DARE and other things in assemblies. Sam was off duty at the time, so he was able to come over when Karen called him. As soon as Kenny saw his bud Sam, he immediately went to go talk with him rather than with my mom or with Karen. They discuss for a little while and afterwards sent everyone on their way. My mom tried to talk to Kenny before he left, but Kenny just brushed it off and said he got the details he needed and that my mom would be able to get the police report in about a week or two. When my mom receives the police report, she saw that it said that she pulled out without using her blinker suddenly and hit Karen's car. On top of that, Karen was expecting for my mom's insurance to pay for the damage done to her rear wheel. My mom went to my neighbor Anthony to ask what she should do about the report, since it was clearly wrong. Anthony was furious and told her that she should go to the police station and ask to see the chief, and if they ask why she needs to see him, she should tell them that it's because she wants to file an internal complaint. That day, my mom takes the photographs sent to her by the son and goes to the police station and asks the person working the front desk to see the chief. The cop says that she could not just walk in and ask for the chief, so my mom responds, "Okay, so where should I go to file an internal complaint?" And the cop immediately straightens up and says, "Right here. Come with me." He leads her into the back. The deputy chief steps into the room and started recording the conversation. Since the chief was out, my mom presented all of the evidence to him instead. After presenting the evidence to show that it was in fact Karen that hit her instead of the other way around, my mom also says that she would like to file a corruption complaint against both Kenny and Sam. Kenny clearly did not do his job properly, since he did not properly ask the actual people involved in the accident and did not even know the fact that there were two passengers in Karen's car in the report. Even Karen later admitted to an investigator that Kenny never once spoke to her. My mom even threw in the racist card for good measure, saying maybe Kenny wouldn't listen to her and brushed her off because of her thick Asian accent. Sam meanwhile had interfered with the investigation despite not being at the scene of the crime during the time of the accident. The deputy chief says he will start an internal investigation and will see if anything needs to be done. Meanwhile, my mom also filed a claim to her insurance and presented the evidence to them too, and her insurance decides, since the accident, in their eyes, was clearly not her fault, they weren't going to pay Karen a penny and that they would contact Karen's insurance to pay my mom instead. A lot of internal bureaucratic investigational crap happens, including interviews with Karen, my mom's friend, and the friend's neighbor. About a month passed and an officer comes to our house to tell my mom that Kenny had been punished, but there was not enough evidence to punish Sam, and he just wanted to know if there were any other concerns she had. Since Karen seemingly had not done anything to further warrant any action and the damage to the car was paid for, my mom said that there was nothing else. This is the fun part. 3 days after the officer came to our door, a letter came in the mail for a court hearing. Turns out, Karen decided to file 3 tickets about my mom just 1 day before the statute of limitations. Apparently, in NJ, citizens are allowed to file complaints about other citizens breaking the law, a thing that our family had never heard of before until this happened, and because of how late she filed these complaints, by the time we received them in the mail, we could not even counter-complain and the only options were to pay the fine or to go to court. We assume that Karen learned about being able to file a complaint from Sam, because no dip, and that the only reason she was willing to go this far is because she heard my mom had a super thick Asian accent and assumed that my mom would know what to do about the tickets and would just pay up. What she didn't count on was the fact that my mom is actually really aggressive with an absolutely massive network of people that she knows. Within a day, my mom hired a lawyer to fight the case and they immediately asked to change the court from the small court in our town to one of the large courts a couple of towns away. The logic was that if she fought the case in our town, my mom would be at a disadvantage since her case was essentially going against our town's beloved police force, but by putting it in a different town, the playing field would be even. Additionally, while my mom worked from home in her own business, Karen had a full-time job in town, so going to court in a different town would be a huge pain in the neck for her. The lawyer had prepared a huge amount of evidence against Karen, so there was no way she was actually going to win the case no matter what. Come the court date, Karen never showed up, so the case was thrown out. That was a pretty nice win, but what came after was even better. Since my mother and sister have a lot of friends in town, the story of Karen and Sam doing this shady crap got out really fast. Soon, half the town had heard about it, and suddenly Karen and Sam went from two favorites in the town because of Sam's reputation to two of the most underhanded and nasty people. Sam stopped getting invited to school assemblies and Karen was ostracized in her kids' school's PTA. Anthony also ended up talking to the police chief in private and we found out that although Sam was not officially punished, he was severely reprimanded by the chief. Thanks for listening to episode 7 of Reddit Ramblings. Peace.